Ephesians 3:16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your innermost being. Ephesians 3:16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your being. Ephesians 3:16. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from every conscience and our body washed with pure water. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. Hebrews 10:22. Colossians 2:6-7. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Colossians 2:6-7. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Colossians 2:6-7. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study, realizing again, of course, that the most important thing we can do as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is to advance spiritually. We are considering the fact that we are living on the highest plane of the Christian life, a beautiful, magnificent, and wonderful responsibility which God has given to each one of us. You'll notice that in today's bulletin, we have an emphasis on the subject, the Christian life on the highest plane. And the emphasis there is taken from Acts chapter 28, verse 28. On the screen, though, you see Acts 28, verse 16. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. May we pray together, please. Father, we realize today how blessed we are. We are the recipients of your magnificent grace every single day. Salvation grace, experiential growing grace, and dying grace. We're thankful that you've given us the assurance in your word that you would always be there, never to leave us, never to forsake us. And that's our reason for being here again today, to express our thanks for your great love and blessings. We ask that you'll be with us in these moments, that we may be able to understand more clearly your plan and your design for our individual lives. We thank you for your grace and your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to begin this session today by telling you that we have just listened to a magnificent message from Michael Walters. Michael Walters was born October 13. That's today. Today is Michael's birthday. Michael Walters was born October the 13th, 1980. And grew up near Dallas, Texas. Though he grew up in a Baptist church, he didn't become a believer until he was age 24. He has a Bachelor of Science of Psychology from Texas A&M, a Master of Theology from Dallas Theological Seminary. Mike spent 6 years in the United States Navy as an intelligence analyst, Arabic linguist. He has been married to Cindy for 13 years. And as all of you know, we're so pleased to have them with their four sweet, precious children. He teaches world history at Sterling High School. Mike teaches the prep school class during the second service. That's why he's not in here right now. And he fills out when our song leader is absent, except when John is here. So John was here today. This is going to be somewhat of a different service for me, for you, because I want to remind you of the fact that the statement that's in the bulletin, and I think this is a magnificent statement, you'll notice that I chose the title that the Christian's life on the highest plane. I have to conclude that after these many years of being in the ministry, I would consider myself enjoying this magnificent gift from God of living on a high plane. I want you to know that I have been blessed tremendously, never realizing 70 years ago when I started my first church as a pastor, I was only 20 years of age at that time. I'm trying to figure out if that puts it right. Yes, I was very young, and they were willing to put up with me, and I was pastoring that first church for me while in the seminary at Fort Worth. We traveled from Vanvleck, Texas, by Santa Fe Chief, a train out of Houston, every Monday morning to Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth, and then catch that plane. It was all like, almost like a plane for me at that time, a country boy, a train back to Houston on Fridays. I'd leave on Monday and go to the seminary, come back on Friday to pastor the First Baptist Church of Vanvleck, Texas. In case you don't know where that is, it's just a few miles out of Bay City, and that's not too far away from here. The Lord let me start very early in the ministry and then start pastoring very early. I never dreamed at that time that I would have the experiences that I've had over these last years. And I certainly never dreamed that I would have the opportunity to deal with individuals like Milton Kellner. I want you to realize how blessed I am and how fortunate I've been over these years to have so many fantastic people with whom to work. And this has been such a tremendous blessing to my heart and to my life. When I come to the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, I find the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. When I look with you at the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those Gospels are called the harmony of the Gospels. The first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called the synoptic Gospels. I want you to know that following the harmony of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you have the book of Acts, which we all know is actually a presentation of the activities of the Holy Spirit, beautifully, beautifully presented. In case you didn't realize that when you study the book of Acts, you will find the activities of the Holy Spirit starting with an emphasis upon Pentecost, and then, of course, all the various activities in relationship to this man called Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. When you leave the book of Acts, you begin to move into the book of Romans. And when you go from Romans through to the book of Hebrews, you will find the emphasis upon the ministry of the Apostle Paul. I'm just trying to give you a little summary, quick summary, to let you know what we find in this magnificent, wonderful book called the Bible. In Acts 28:16, we read, "When we came to Rome, the centurion permitted Paul to remain by himself with a soldier guarding him." Now, that's an interesting passage of Scripture because we find that this is an emphasis upon the fact that the Apostle Paul was placed in prison. So the scripture says in Acts 28:16, when he came to Rome, the centurion permitted Paul to remain by himself with a soldier guarding him. Then when you look at Acts 28:30, it says Paul remained 2 whole years in his own rented apartment and welcomed all that came to visit him. This is a very interesting passage indeed. When you look at Acts 28:30, Paul remained 2 whole years in his own rented apartment and welcomed all that came to visit him. In our passage of Scripture, which we have for today, is an emphasis on the fact that people came and visited the Apostle Paul in prison, and he witnessed or he presented the truth to them. Our responsibility is to present the truth. One of the responsibilities that came to me and comes to me every time that I have the responsibility of having a memorial service, it is in my heart never, never to go to a memorial service without presenting somehow, in some way, the wonderful, magnificent plan of redemption. So I have to tell you that I realized that Milton had a lot of friends. Over these years, his influence and his testimony has been outstanding. I did not know who all would be at that memorial service, but I was aware of the fact that there could always be individuals who attend a memorial service who have yet not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And so the desire of my heart, as the family wanted and I desired, to present how great salvation is. So I want to give you a little summary. This was not given at the funeral, but I want to give it to you today. Salvation is God's work for man and not man's work for God. I would like for you to put this down somewhere in your thinking or on paper. Salvation is God's work for man, not man's work for God. You remember that in the service, if you were at the memorial service, we gave you Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that salvation is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I presented very briefly the fact that in that passage of Scripture, there's an emphasis upon the presentation of the grace of God from a positive standpoint and even from a negative standpoint, and then an emphasis upon the results of what takes place when a person comes to know Jesus Christ as Savior, and that falls in the category of production. That's verse 10, which I didn't really get into. Let me repeat to you today, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that salvation is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. What I've discovered is that that verse of Scripture is so powerful because it presents the fact that salvation is a gift from God, a gift of grace. You'll notice that the verse says, for by grace you're saved through faith, and then it says, and that word is in the neuter gender, which says that salvation is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So from the positive standpoint, it emphasizes the fact that salvation is the work of God for man, not man's work for God. And that's the reason why it says, and that salvation is not of man, but is of God. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that salvation is not of your works. It is not by man's works. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Notice, if you will, please, I have some other thoughts on the screen. God's work for man, not man's work for God. Next, divine reconciliation, not human regulation. Divine reconciliation, not human regulation. Notice also canceling of all sin, not necessity from some, not cessation from some sin. Notice, if you will, please, divine regeneration, not human reformation. Notice also completeness in Christ, not competency of character. One of the things that I've tried to do through the years is to present how fantastic salvation is, emphasizing the fact that salvation is, first of all, the work of Jesus Christ toward the Heavenly Father called propitiation. You want to put this down? If you don't already have it, please do. Salvation is the work of Jesus Christ toward God, propitiation. I'm aware of the fact that propitiation is a long word, a theological word. The word is the word that means satisfaction. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, came forth out of the grave, and ascended to sit at the Father's right hand, that simply means that the Father, Heavenly Father, was totally, completely satisfied with all that Jesus Christ had done. That's the meaning of the word propitiation. The word propitiation means satisfaction. So the Heavenly Father was totally satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ when he gave himself totally for the sins of mankind. We could spend a lot more time here, but let's move along. Salvation is the work of Jesus Christ toward the Heavenly Father, God, propitiation. Salvation is the work of Jesus Christ toward man, reconciliation. The word reconciliation is a beautiful word. It simply means that which God has done for us when he placed us in a proper relationship to Jesus Christ. Reconciliation and regeneration means the same thing. It simply emphasizes the fact that the Spirit of God works a miracle when a person believes. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Regeneration is the work of the Holy Spirit that brings about a magnificent change in a person's life at the point of trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. You've heard me say this probably over these 40 plus years, thousands of times. Regeneration is a miracle working Spirit of God transforming an individual's life, moving that person from a person who is unsaved, without Christ, dichotomous, body and soul, to trichotomous, body, soul, and spirit. Most of you understand that completely. Let me just emphasize it for a few moments. It's so beautiful to realize that an unsaved person has body and soul, but does not have the ability to comprehend or understand or appreciate or enjoy those things in the realm of the spiritual. What am I trying to say? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when we're born physically alive and spiritually dead. That means that we have body and soul, but we do not have body, soul, and spirit. An unsaved person cannot comprehend or appreciate or enjoy those things in the realm of the spiritual simply because, having been born physically alive and spiritually dead, they cannot understand or appreciate or know about those things in the realm of the spiritual. But regeneration, reconciliation, changes all that. In other words, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God worked a miracle in your life. And He moved you from dichotomy to trichotomy. He moved you from body and soul to body, soul, and spirit. You became the recipient at the point of salvation on another magnificent ingredient. The ingredient was that which gave you the ability to appreciate, to know, to comprehend, to enjoy those things in the realm of the spiritual. That's what I tried to get over at the memorial service for Milton. I believe I got it over. I hope I did. Because I want people to be able to see that if they've only been born one time, that's not enough. But the Bible says you have to be born again. That's the reason why Jesus said that to Nicodemus. You must be born again. You remember that Nicodemus didn't understand that. He said, well, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? See, he didn't comprehend that. He was religious. He was a Bible teacher. But a lot of times people who are religious and Bible teachers don't understand the new birth. But anyway, Jesus went on and explained that. And it was beautifully presented to us in the third chapter. I won't get into that. Only to tell you that if you've only been born once, that's not enough. You have to be born again. When a person is born again, God works this miracle of regeneration. A person is reconciled. A person is placed in a different position. They're placed in a position where they enjoy spiritual things. They comprehend, they understand, they are appreciative of those things in the realm of the spiritual. I can tell you for sure, there's no doubt in my mind about Milton in relationship to that. There's no doubt in my mind about many of you because I know you personally and I realize how you enjoy and appreciate those things in the realm of the spiritual. Regeneration. If I were talking to a crowd of people here today and there was one person in that crowd who was unsaved, I could tell you that that person would be body and soul, but not body, soul, and spirit. And that person would have the ability to comprehend a lot of things. They could look around and see individuals and they could detect colors and they could detect a lot of things. But they would not have the insight that you have as a trichotomous individual. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I want you to know that I was trying to get over, and I'm getting it over again today, that salvation is the work of Jesus Christ toward God, propitiation, satisfaction, the work of Jesus Christ toward man, reconciliation, regeneration, transformation. I'm going to let you pause for a few moments and think about this. Some years ago, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when that happened to you, you appreciated the fact that based upon the authority of God's Word, you knew that heaven was your eternal home. You didn't know when you were going to go. You didn't know whether maybe the rapture would come first. But you knew if the rapture didn't occur, that you would go one of these days. You would breathe your last breath. Your heart would beat for its last time. You knew that without doubt, heaven would be your eternal home, not based upon how you felt, not based upon whether or not you were a church member, not based upon whether you were keeping the Ten Commandments, because you're not. It was not based upon any of these things, but based upon the truth of God's Word, where He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Didn't say hope so or maybe so. Isn't that wonderful? Reconciliation, regeneration. The work of Jesus Christ towards sin. Redemption. Now I'm getting carried away. I realize that there's so much that I would like to say, but I want to give you a few little points here today that you might want to take home with you. Over the years, 70 years of studying and teaching, I've learned a few things, and there's so much more to learn. But I've learned some things about the subject of death. I will not take the time to discuss this in length, but just to present it to you. One type of death is physical death. If you want a definition for physical death, I have it on the screen for you. Very brief. Physical death means separation of the body and the soul. Number two, spiritual death. Separation from God in time. Spiritual death. Second death, separation from God forever. I'm giving you time to take that down if you so desire. It's important for you not only to know this, but to think about it. Physical death, separation of the body and soul. Spiritual death, separation from God in time. These are unsaved individuals. Separation from God in time. Number three are those individuals who die not having accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. The second death means separation from God forever. I would not want to stop right there. If I died of a heart attack just now, I would want John or someone to come on up here and finish this message. I've got the outline here. You can take it. But I'm still alive, so let me go on, okay? Because this next one is very important. In fact, it is the key of what I'm talking about. Number four is positional death. Positional sanctification. Positional identification with Jesus Christ. In His death and His resurrection. That's our position. Very, very important for you to write this down, put it into your thinking and remember it. Physical death, separation of body and soul. Spiritual death, separation from God in time. Second death, separation from God forever. How sad. How wonderful the next one, positional death. Identification with Christ in His death and resurrection. You're listening so beautifully. Carnal death. This is being not in fellowship with Jesus Christ, out of harmony. Out of fellowship, out of harmony. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to stay out of harmony. Out of harmony, out of fellowship. So there's carnal death. Over the years, I've developed some more here. Number six, I've developed this one. I call it operational death. Failure to produce. Operational death. The scripture has some things to say about the next one. I will not get into any discussion on this, but there is an emphasis in the scripture on sexual death. Inability to reproduce. What does the Holy Spirit do for us when we're saved? On the screen, I put it quickly for you to see. Number one, we become a member of His body. 1 Corinthians 12:13. The Holy Spirit does this for us. He places us into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Number two, in John 15:5, we become a branch in the vine. Beautifully presented in John 15:5. In Ephesians 2:21-22, the scripture says we become a stone in the building. A stone in the building. Ephesians 2:21-22. In Hebrews 13:20-21, the scripture says we become sheep in the flock. Sheep in the flock. In Hebrews 13:20-21. When you go to the book of Ephesians 5:25-26-27, the scripture says we become a part of the bride. Jesus Christ is the groom. We become a part of the bride. When I go to 1 Peter 2:9, the scripture says we become a priest in His kingdom. A priest in His kingdom. How beautiful. And then in Romans 8:29, the scripture says the Holy Spirit does this for us. We become united with the members of the Godhead. Deity 1, Deity 2, Deity 3. That's what salvation does for us. I've said this many times. There's no congregation like this one. You listen more attentively than any group could ever listen. Thank you. May we pray together, please. The last few seconds of this service are designed for those who are listening, not only in this auditorium, but somewhere else in this world. There may be individuals whose ears are attuned at this moment, but you personally have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm glad that I can tell you that God loves you and that Jesus Christ died for you. That's the reason why the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." I do not know who you are. I do not know where you are. I do know this for sure, that if you're unsaved, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, God loves you, and Christ died for you. And you can be born again right now. The scripture says, if you have the Son of God, you have life. If you do not have the Son of God, you do not have life. The Bible teaches us very vividly that there's only one way of salvation, and it's by faith alone in Christ alone. Jesus said, "I'm the way." He didn't say, "I'm one of the ways." He didn't say, "I'm some truth." He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And the only way to go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Trust Him. Believe in Him. Allow Him to save you right now. I promise you, He won't lie to you. He'll do what He said He would do. And if you will pray and ask Him to save you, He'll save you. Father, thank You for Your great love for all of us. Help us to appreciate what You have done and are doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.